our continued coverage of PSCU's 2022 member forum here in lovely Las Vegas, Nevada. And with me in the studio lounge is Mr. Nathan Vega from Protegrity.
That's right.
Welcome, Nathan. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
My first event here for PSCU, and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, great. Well, you're at a good one. PSCU puts on a heck of a show. Yeah,
yes.
They are one of the tops, for sure, for sure. So, how's the conference going for you? Because we're like probably midway through with it right now.
It's been going really well.
Yeah,
I'm learning a lot, which is the reason I came here. I know we're a data security firm, we're not really a credit union, but at the same time, you know, what we think about is data and how companies use it, and so I'm learning a lot about the, you know, aspirations and inspiration for how that credit unions can grow and use data to really, you know, change their experiences and drive competitiveness for themselves. So really interesting and really learning, good learning for me.
Good stuff, good stuff. All right, let's get to the topic at hand here, because this is a topic that's top of mind for pretty much anybody on planet Earth, I think. And that's how credit unions can minimize the impact of potential ransomware attacks. And before we get to that nugget, what's the status of ransomware right now? Because it's obviously ramped up the last couple of years for obvious reasons. So what are you guys seeing out there right now?
So it's a board level conversation at nearly every customer we have. We have some customers are meeting every week to talk about what's our status
on
how we're going to handle it. And it's only going to increase, unfortunately. And that's because ransomware is really developed into a changing attack type. So it's become a lot more prevalent because of things like ransomware as a service, which is effectively, think of it as a platform for attackers to...
RAAS?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And they have customer support if you call your victims customers.
Really?
And and they allow it's a model that allows lower sophistication of attackers to attack businesses, and that's why we see a big growth. I think the last stats I see were over 200% growth in ransomware attacks since 2019. It's a scary proposition.
Out of control, Nathan.
Yep.
It's out of control. So, having said that, what can credit unions do to kind of, like the topic here? What can they do to minimize a potential attack?
Sure. Well, I think the key is knowing what ransomware is first, and knowing that it's also a changing attack type. Mm-hmm. I think most of the people that think about ransomware today, they're thinking about it as an operational problem. So a lot of people familiar with like Colonial Pipeline, they weren't able to process payments, and that really brought down their business. They paid about $4.7 million. CNA is an insurer. They lost their CRM, and they paid about $40 million. And it's because that CRM had personal identifying information in it. It's, you know, IP, it's a lot, right? So so when we look at it from a credit union standpoint, I think we need to be looking at both sides of that equation, and not only having an operational plan for how do you handle a ransomware attack, but also consider how do you protect the data so that if it does get exfiltrated from the building or it's breached, that you have fallback for it.
Yeah, and it seems like, it's just getting more and more common, unfortunately. And financial institutions are right there in the target. So how did we get to this point with ransomware? I mean, obviously there were, you know, situations where things happen and it comes to the forefront of what's going on out there. And we in Southern California experienced Scripps was hit with ransomware attack and just messed everything up for a good 6 months at least. So how did we get to this point? The significance of ransomware right now?
Ransomware is diabolical. That's really what it comes down to. It can get into your business in so many different ways. It can be somebody clicking on the wrong thing in the office. It could be putting in the wrong thumb drive. It could be, you know, left an open port. There's so many ways that it can be introduced into the business, and that's why it's so prevalent. I think the other side of it is it's very profitable. I mean, when we think about criminals, they go to work.
Yeah.
They just happen to steal data and sell it for their job.
Right.
And so they know it's profitable. They know that they can turn that around quickly, and they know that they can escalate ransoms on companies. I think the average ransom I saw is now up to like $540,000, right? And that's, you know, so that's a lot of money. We're talking about smaller credit unions and some other. That's a huge operational
cost. Small
businesses,
small businesses
in general, yes.
Oh my gosh. And I hear there's some cases where, you pay it, but then they'll just come right back.
Oh, the likelihood of, if you pay
the repeat offender, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a 60 to 80% chance that you're going to be re-victimized if you pay the ransom.
Yeah.
So it just really puts customers in a bind. We have states like Ohio that are passing laws where it's actually illegal to pay the ransom, too.
I've heard
so that really actually then puts you know, businesses at a further disadvantage because it lowers the number of options they have in terms of handling it. So really focusing on that front end, like the planning part, left of boom is what we would say in the cybersecurity industry, before the event happens, focusing your energy there is really a cost savings on the backside, so you're mitigating that chance that something big is going to happen.
Yeah, because these folks are always looking for what's the terminology, the path of least resistance.
Sure.
So that's what they're looking for, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how they get in, and then mayhem starts. Oh my God. So what do you guys do at Protegrity? What do you guys do to help out here?
So we focus on, as I mentioned, that ransomware is sort of two-sided coin. One is the operational piece and bringing things down, and the second is really the high-value piece, which is taking personal data, personal identifying data or IP from a company. We focus on that latter part. So PSCU has been a customer for ours for over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
We protect some of the most sensitive member data they have. And help them provide that out to analytical services in a safe way. So that's kind of what we do. I mean, just making sure that we're keeping that member data safe.
Yeah, indeed. Well, good stuff. Anything else to add? I mean, this is, we could talk about this for hours. I know could, because you do this for a living. So I'm fascinated with it anyway, just because of what all the things that can go wrong and all the things that can happen and stuff like that. But anything else to add here? Any final thoughts to help credit unions out here?
I think, so we're partnering with companies like AWS and others to try to figure out how to bring some of the sophisticated technology we have to them so that it can be available to, you know, some of the credit unions that are a little bit smaller, less invested in that IT and security space. So there's some things coming in the future for that, and we're looking forward to trying to really try to increase the breadth and ability for us to protect different levels of customers.
I lied. I have one more question for you.
All right,
popped
fantastic.
In my head. Advice for credit unions. What can they do? Step one, step two, step three. Is there anything like that they can do in the meantime to kind of like
the number,
weather the charge?
Well, I think for a credit union, I think the number one thing they can do is educate their people.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that sounds trivial, but it's not. Right? If we tell people about what things they should be looking out for, how to avoid mistakes, how to avoid clicking on the wrong things, that's going to do a lot for them. More than any tool probably is going to it's going to help them. I think the second part then is, I think really again, play what they call playbooking, but looking at what would happen if a ransomware attack happened. You can do a tabletop exercise, plan for it, right? We do this for games when we're going to, you know, play sports, right? We do walkthroughs, same rehearsals when we're doing speeches, right?
Yeah.
Same thing. We don't want it to be a surprise when the attack happens. So practice that, what you're going to do in the event of that, and know what your steps are. And then last, I think it's really investing in your data. So we know that data is going to be the lifeblood of the future credit union, right? It's whether it's new mobile experiences, new member experience for personalization or whatever it is. So investing in that data now and doing that digital transformation now, well, now's the time to do the security transformation too, right? So take that data at the same time you're going to do the analytics and think about it and actually protect it at the same time.
Yeah.
You're two birds with one stone.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, be efficient about it.
Right.
Good stuff. Yeah, this is a topic that's never going to go away, unfortunately.
I think so.
But thanks to folks like you out there that are protecting us, the consumer, and the credit unions out there. Thank you for all the hard work that you guys do.
Well,
we really appreciate it. And to get more information on Protegrity at Protegrity.com, I'm assuming?
That's correct. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, we'll put the link in the show notes so people can get right to you guys.
Appreciate it. Well, thank you.
All right, Nathan. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the show.
You too.